Today on Real Radio.
God exists. He's real. You not believing in him doesn't make him vanish. He just doesn't fly away and doesn't exist anymore, regardless of your opinion. If you are faithless, if you are unbelieving, yet he's still true.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are free. Praise, my heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch, Lord. I live for your love.
Hello, and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul uses military and agricultural figures of speech to describe what is expected of us as followers of Jesus. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Careful Soldier.
The Bible tells us, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run the race with endurance," or with suffering. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set in front of him, endured the cross. If you're a Christian, you have a direction, you have a path in your suffering. Jesus got on the cross. He didn't wiggle and squiggle and squirm. And no, he willfully laid his life down, drove the nails through his hands as they crucified him. And for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. What do you think was before him? A picnic? A vacation? Just call the 1-800 number and you'll have this weekend free? It was you, your name, your salvation. They raised him up and he looked out over eternity to see us there through the purchased work on the cross that he did. He saw us while we yet were never born. The Bible says that he had us on his heart. And he was raised up. And he says, if I'm raised up, and really since I shall be raised up, I will draw all men unto myself. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Because you know what? I'm not worth it. But to Christ, I'm worth it. Isn't that something? What a crack up. He thinks I'm something. He thinks you're something. But how do we endure this? If we're exhorted by Paul to endure, how do we do it? You might want to write this down. How do I apply this to my life? I, for one, two simple verses. Isaiah 43:11, I believe it is. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Waiting upon the Lord, seeking him, being in his word, getting direction, letting him speak. And then Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. We live in a day we cannot be still. We have fast food, we have microwaves, we have these jets that take us across the Atlantic in 3.5 hours. Everything's quick, everything's fast. And if you want to accept it or not, we are in that mode. And we come to Christianity and we say, okay, here I am, Lord. I'm waiting. Now fill me. Okay. Come on, God, I know you're faster than that. Come on. I mean, you built everything in 6 days. Come on, let's go. And the Lord says, yeah, just hang on a minute. Wait a minute. And we can't hear that wait. What is the worst thing to hear? Honey, can you help me turn the faucet off? I've got my hand down here. Hang on a minute. I'll be right there. Wait a minute. We don't want to hear that. We want to have something now. And Christianity is a lifelong work. It takes time. I don't know about you, but as we grow along in our Christian experience, for me, the joys get more joyous and the hard parts get harder. And the Lord tells me often, I'm doing surgery on you. I'm working, I'm cutting away, I'm chipping away. And I'm running underneath the scalpel and God's going, hold still. And I tell you, when I decide to wait is when he cuts the best and it's quicker. And when he's done, I go, yes! But when I'm running around and God's trying to change my life, I'm not listening to the Bible, I'm not listening to the Lord. Man, I'm running underneath that little scalpel while he's trying to fix my life, and maybe I'll get hurt here and there by my own doing. We need to be careful. We need to wait. We need to stand still. You know, in my life, when I go places and or whatever happens, and there's somebody from this ministry around or somebody who knows I'm in the ministry, they always like to watch and see what happens to my life. A couple years ago, I don't know what you call it. I had a houseboat out on Lake Powell, and Chuck and Lonnie were there, and we were out there on Lake Powell with this houseboat, and I crashed this thing royally. The guy said, when you get near the shore, just full speed and run it up. Well, on Lake Powell, you can't tell the sand from the rock. It's all the same color. And I hit this thing, and it was horrible. Kids went flying, food flew out everywhere, and of course, my wife has it on video. She was on the shore. But people, in fact, they said, oh, it's going to be neat to hear how this fits into a sermon someday. Well, this week, I'm walking out on Balboa Pier, and this guy, of course, he was a Christian. At least he had a Christian belt. He had a belt buckle about that big, and it said, praise the Lord, on it. Well, the people, all these people were fishing, and I'm walking along, and we're just there, and this guy gets this fish, and I don't know what his problem was, but I'm like looking over there, and this guy yanks his pole, and I look, and here comes this fish flying through the air, and if I would have stood still, I would have been fine, but I started to run around. I'm going, oh gosh. And here's this thing coming, and I'm moving, and I duck, and this mackerel hits me right in the back of the head. I mean, boom. And I stood up, and it's slime and stuff, and it stunk. And my wife and Chuck and Lonnie, they're like rolling around on the pier. And I'm just going, if I would have been still, that thing would have went right past me. I was running around and ran right underneath the trajectory of that stinking little mackerel. And I began to think, you know, this is pretty tragic. Chino Hills man killed by flying fish. Film at 11. Or pastor killed by holy mackerel. Or something, you know, God's judgment. The wrath of God came upon me. And, you know, I'm fun to be around, I guess, when things like that happen. They go, oh, man, this ought to work into a message. At whose expense? You know? Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. You know? So I ate it. But we have to endure things sometimes. We have to stand still. Now, he goes on to say, in the negative, if we deny him, he also will deny us. This is a very tragic thing, and we need to understand it clearly. If we deny him, literally the word deny means to refuse and to keep refusing. But Jesus went on to say, but whosoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. This is not the denial that you and I have done and may shall do, though we don't want to, like Peter's denial under pressure. In a moment of weakness, we deny the Lord. We don't speak for him when we should speak for him. We wimp out. That is denial. But we're not talking about Peter's type of denial, even though Peter said, I don't even know the man. That's not the kind of denial the Bible's speaking about. It's talking about the type of denial that actually is goes along this way. And I hesitate because it scares me, because I was there one day almost. When somebody comes to you, if you're not a believer this morning, and somebody says, why don't you come to Jesus? You know, he loves you. He wants to give you life. And you go, no, thank you. Thanks, but no thanks. Then somebody comes to you again, and would you give your heart to Christ? No, thank you. And then they come to you again in your life, at some point in your life, and somebody says, why don't you give your heart to Christ? And you respond, look, I don't need that, okay? Just leave me alone. I've got my own religion. I believe in my own way. And then finally somebody comes, and this is the type of refusal that this word denial means. Somebody comes and says, why don't you give your heart to Christ? You're an old man, or you're a young man. You could die tomorrow. And you say, look, get away from me with this Jesus and with this stuff. I'm not going to believe in that fairy tale kind of stuff. And you reject, and then you get up and walk away to your death. That's the kind of refusal. It's a constant rejecting. Refusal to come to him. If you deny him, I was going to say I promise, but who am I? I'm nothing. God promises. Thus saith the Lord, if you refuse him, he will refuse you on that day. I've got my own religion. Jesus says, I'm the only way. That's heavy, isn't it? If we deny him, he will also deny us. Now, verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, and he cannot deny himself. And again, he is projecting towards us a negative, and it means this: no matter what your opinion is, no matter what your view is of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change the facts. God exists. He's real. You not believing in him doesn't make him vanish. He just doesn't fly away and doesn't, you know, exist anymore, regardless of your opinion. If you are faithless, if you are unbelieving, yet he's still true. He still exists. He cannot deny himself. This word here, to be faithless or unbelieving, is the Greek word amar, and it means to suppose. It means to suppose. And Psalm 14:1 says, the fool has supposed, same word, in his heart that there's no God. And it goes like this, really. In all honesty, the fool says, there's no God, there's no God, there's no God, there's no God. Can't be, can't be, can't be. And he begins to talk himself into it. And you know what's sad is when you begin in that state to believe your own propaganda, you deceive yourself. There's no God, there's no God. And you begin to say it so much, you begin to believe your own message. That word fool in Psalm 14:1 is the word in the Hebrew, nabal. It means, I'm not making this up. It means stupid. That's the translation of the word. The stupid have supposed there is no God. They've convinced themselves there's no God. They've gone to the eternal Vegas. They put their life in the slot, pulled the handle, and gambled. And they say, this is the way it's going to be. And they've committed themselves. Yet there's no logical reason to back up their presupposition. In Psalm 10, verse 4, it says, the wicked is prideful in his heart, and he doesn't seek after God. God is in none of his thoughts, Psalm 10, 4 says. Very serious. Now, he changes to really an exhortation of sound faith. And this is what I'm supposed to be doing to you right now, verse 14. And this is what you do when you get up today and go home or go to your job tomorrow. Listen, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. And this word is beautiful in the Greek. It means to remind, to exhort them quietly, constantly. Remember Jesus. Remember the word of the Lord. Seek the Lord. Don't deny the Lord. Stay in the Word of God. And you don't yell and pound the pulpit. You exhort them constantly, quietly, faithfully. You know, this blesses my heart. You know, in the Old Testament, the little Hebrew babies were born. They had come into the world. And the mama would take that little Hebrew baby and get her lips. And this is part of the routine. They would get their lips to touch the ear of the baby. The day it was born and every day until the mom handed the child over to the father at the bar mitzvah, the age of 13. And she would say, Yahweh is Lord. That's the first words the baby heard in this world. Yahweh is Lord. Yahweh is Lord. And she told that every day to that baby. You know why? To instill in that little guy's heart that Yahweh is Lord. And she began to speak those words. Yahweh is Lord would be some of the first words out of a Hebrew baby. Isn't that awesome? And that's what this word means here. Jesus is Lord. Follow the Lord. Study His word. And the Holy Spirit whispers that in your ear. He reminds you quietly and constantly. And He also goes on to say, charge them. Now, some ministries have taken this up as a command, you know, charge them. Visa, MasterCard, whatever it takes, charge them. You know, the word actually means, in the Greek, to protest to them. We protest. We are to one another. And the minister, Timothy's to protest to the flock. I will. Read my Bible. Read my Bible. And you say, well, how ludicrous. Well, when's the last time you read your Bible? That's what we're supposed to do. We are to charge you. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. And you pump them in the spirit, not in the flesh. I don't remember what year it was. 87, maybe. Mike McIntosh, maybe some of you guys were there at Twin Peaks. He had a stand up on a Friday night at a men's retreat. Stand up, everybody. Raise your right hand. We're like, okay. And say this, I will. Everyone's looking around at each other. What are we going to do? Go back to my pastor. And tell him I will serve. And tell him I will. But you know, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you'll say anything. You know, we're pledging unto the Lord. Hey, praise the Lord. I will. I'm going to serve the Lord. Yeah. And we get done. And I thought, yeah, no, well, if God opens a door, that's fine. I didn't know what kind of door God was going to be opening. And God says, well, there's a door, now go. Now, wait a minute, I started backpedaling. But that's exactly what Mike McIntosh did to us. I will. He charges, the Holy Spirit charges us to seek the Lord. Now, He says, charge them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. We're not to strive about words. And this is very sad. We're not to strive about words. Simply, Jesus said in Matthew 5:37, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. Boy, isn't that true? We got people today, there are churches, there are denominations and splits. Because people want to strive about words. And I kid you not, I speak from experience in this fellowship via the phone that rings. Which way do you guys baptize? First of all, they say, where are you at? And we tell them where we're at, and, well, we'd like to come. Okay, great, come. Praise the Lord, come. Well, one question, though, how do you baptize? Well, in water. Yeah, but do you do it front? Or do you have backwards? Well, let me get the baptism manual out and see how we do that. It's not in the Bible. Front, back, sideways. Well, do you dip them down and up three times? If you're not doing it three times, they're not really baptized. You know what? I have no patience for those kinds of things. So if you're visiting, don't call me. Talk to somebody else here. The Bible says baptize them. And if they're hanging on a cross and they're dying, you can waive the baptism part. The thief on the cross was never baptized. Okay? We baptized. How do you do it? Hey, we pray with them. Take them out into the ocean, and we hold them under, sometimes longer. Depends on their life. And we bring them up, and we send them on their way. And besides all that, Corinthians tells us that we're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, and it has nothing to do with water. But we do baptize people because Jesus says we ought to baptize people. And so we do it. Some people are upset because we actually have keyboards here. We like the place, we love the people, but you have keyboards or you have drum set and we can't come back. They've never read Psalms 150 and other places. Why do we do this? Why do we split the body of Christ over nothing you can prove in the Bible? Why? Because people strive about words. We had somebody here just take a hit from their family. They started coming. They gave their heart to Christ. They're all freaking out and loving the Lord, and they go home to share the gospel. And the person says, well, where did you find this gospel of Jesus in the Bible and all? I went to Calvary Chapel. You can't go there. Well, how come? It's a chapel. It's not a church. How do you like that one? It's a chapel. You can't. It's only a chapel. It's not a church. Isn't that a trip? Striving about stupid words. And people do it all the time. 2 Peter 3:16 says that there are those who are unlearned and unstable who wrestle the word of God and other scriptures to their own destruction. We need to be more like the church who tested the words of Paul, Acts 17:11, to see if the things that he was preaching were true. The Bible's the authority. We need to go to the Bible and all these things. And so now he says in verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. I love this. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker or a student who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This word study is spoudazo in the Greek. It means to make speed, to make haste. I'm just spoudazoing along in my walk. I'm learning, I'm growing. How do you learn? What is the type of Bible teaching that the Bible reveals to us? Expositional Bible study.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 11 through 19, it's a presentation called The Careful Soldier. And we'll continue with more in our series through 2 Timothy on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, we are making available this series through 1 and 2 Timothy, all on one convenient MP3 CD. For your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send it your way. Now, to get in touch with us here at Real Radio, our phone number, which is toll-free, is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your gift online. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.